I'm Mark Golub, and in the news, the escalating mob violence, looting, destruction of property, and in horrid fashion, physical assault on innocent Americans. And by the way, ugly expressions of anti-Semitism, as was experienced by Congregation Bethel in Los Angeles, where their walls were spray-painted with the words, Free Palestine, F Israel. Now, I wrote an opinion piece on Monday, which I sent out to all of you who receive our Sunday email. By the way, if you enjoy JBS, you really should be on our email list. You'll get our Sunday email listing all the programming for the upcoming week. You'll receive program alerts when a program is added at the last moment, and you'll get press releases and any opinion piece I might do from time to time. And the only downside is that we'll have your email address, and every now and then you might receive an email from us asking you to support JBS. But my guess is, my hope is, if you really enjoy JBS, you're already supporting the channel. Anyway, I wrote an opinion piece on Monday, responding to the wave of protests throughout America after the horrific murder of an African-American man, George Floyd, by a Minneapolis policeman. I am most gratified to say that the overwhelming number of you who wrote me in response to my piece, very complimentary things to say, which meant the world to me. Kenneth, thank you so much. And thank you, Dennis, and Zalman, and Iris, and Elise, and Aaron, and all of you who took the time to write me notes, sometimes adding to my thoughts. I am most grateful. And as I read the emails I received, it occurred to me that I wanted to speak to the two things that are troubling me most, one of which I find, strangely enough, to be somewhat controversial. I am deeply troubled by any systemic racism that may exist in our police departments, and by any racist acts which degrade other people's feelings and prevent them from creating fulfilling lives for themselves and their children anywhere in American society. And to be sure, as I wrote in my piece, that is what is motivating peaceful protests throughout America. It is the number one concern. And I am also deeply troubled by the eruption of mob violence that permeates and distorts so much of the peaceful protest and has literally hijacked the story, appropriately so to my mind, because the violence has become so serious a threat to property and life and limb that major cities have been moved to impose curfews on its citizens. Think of that. Curfews in America to keep the streets safe, to keep businesses safe, to keep people safe. It's astounding, is it not? So on the one hand, there are serious social issues to confront and to improve in America. On the other hand, there are enough people in America participating in mob violence as to destroy property, burning, looting, indiscriminately doing bodily harm to other Americans, while Americans of conscience are protesting brutality. Other Americans are engaging in violence and brutality. To me, anyone who does not appreciate the gravity of this phenomenon is making a grave error. And this is not isolated cases of mob violence. Cities don't impose curfews because a dozen people here and there are engaging in mob violence. Nor is the mob violence a product of any one group or race of people. It's a rainbow mob. White, black, brown. And everyone's saying, it's the other guy. It's the white racist. It's Antifa. It's outside agitators. It's a mob. And the kind of mob that's the worst thing a society can tolerate. Mobs destroy. They never build. Mobs destroy. They corrupt. They are inherently self-centered, self-interested, and selfish. And they permit themselves to do anything. They give themselves license to destroy, to steal, to brutalize. And yet, there are those who insist on minimizing the mob component of what's happening on the streets of America, acting as if the curfew is not a story in and of itself. So I want to make my own position as clear as I can. And as always, you're free to agree with me. You're free to think I'm full of baloney. I want to begin by being crystal clear on the overarching fact. Fact. The vast, vast majority of people in the street are peaceful protesters expressing their solidarity with the African-American community of America and are participating in a call to this country to fulfill its vision that all are created equal, that this is a country dedicated to the principle of liberty and justice for all. And in the fulfillment of the dream that each shall be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This is why people have taken to the streets. There's a widespread feeling among the people of our nation that there is still systemic racism at work in the United States of America, and that one of the institutions where this racism is most egregious is in our police departments. That Americans of color, especially African Americans, have legitimate reason to fear the American policeman in ways that white Americans do not. Average law-abiding African Americans testify that at any moment, and often for virtually no reason, they may be stopped, harassed, insulted, disrespected, suspected, accused, and sometimes physically manhandled, even brutalized, by American police. And there are similar claims that American courts and American judges impose far harsher penalties and sentences on African Americans than they do on similar offenders when those offenders are not people of color. That's what's causing Americans of all ages and all colors, all religions and ethnicities and social stations to take to the streets of America. And the vast, vast majority of these protesters are non-violent. And by the way, are there instances where individual policemen have used unnecessary force against peaceful protesters? There seems to be. Though I sometimes feel people have no understanding of what police work is and how police must use force when they're dealing with situations of potential danger and violence. You know, it's never smart to provoke a cop. It's never smart to be a wise guy with a policeman. And I have every reason to believe African Americans who describe how often they are stopped by policemen, they're telling the truth. I also hope you've seen some of the lovely pictures, scenes of policemen taking off their helmets, putting down their batons, walking with the peaceful protesters. We've seen policemen kneel, taking a knee with peaceful protesters. It's a serious mistake in my mind to lump all policemen in one ugly basket. It's no more fair to blame all police for a bad apple than it is to blame any group for their bad apples. And a policeman's job, a policeman's sacred duty, is to protect society as best he or she can, to protect us, regardless of our color, to protect us from anyone who would do us bodily harm or harm our property. And mob violence on streets throughout America is doing harm to both. And this, too, is what the streets are all about today. The larger America and the goodness of the American people, white and black, yellow and red, Gentile and Jew and Muslim, the poor, the middle class, and the wealthier, the Democrat and the Republican, the liberal and the conservative, civilian and police, every American of conscience is on the streets of America making one simple statement. America must still be better than it is today. And good for them all. Good for any American who sees injustice and takes to the street in peaceful protest. And in truth, this is what's happening on the streets throughout America. And also, in truth, there has been and there always is a small percentage of people who turn goodness into ugliness. The truth is that some people have turned a noble protest into an ugly mob, which has given itself license to destroy and to loot and to burn and to physically assault, to the point that violence has indeed become the story. And the social message of reform has been pushed to the side. There are those who argue the violence should not be the story, that we should only focus on the object of the protest, in this case, the brutal, senseless murder. Murder by an American policeman of an African-American man already on the ground, already in handcuffs. And while his fellow policemen stood by, watching, doing nothing to save a fellow human being. This, say the peaceful protesters, is symptomatic of a pattern of police brutality directed at Americans of color, especially African Americans. At the same time, by the way, there are people who argue that police departments are overwhelmingly non-racist. Police chiefs are people of color. In Minneapolis, the police chief is a man of color. And it's interesting, while people point out that the vast majority of peaceful protesters should not be tarred with the acts of a violent minority, there are many, many highly respected police officers, and again, police chiefs, including those of color, who ask for the same perspective when applied to the police as a whole. The vast majority of police in this country are not racist, and they should not be tarred by the wholly unacceptable acts of a very few. And so the debate goes on. Are police departments systemically racist, reflecting a systemically racist America? Or does America, the American people, do the American people abhor racism? And it's only the bad cop, who's a racist. And again, there are people who feel passionately on both sides of this issue. But whichever side of the issue any one of us may be on, there should be one point of total agreement. Mob violence is unacceptable, just as racism is unacceptable. And mob violence should be condemned, no less than racism should be condemned. Mob violence is never justified, just as racism is never justified. And it is a failure of conscience to say that mob violence has not become the story today. When cities must impose curfews to protect property and life, mob violence is today's story. Macy's is today's story. Businesses owned by African Americans looted and burned to the ground, a life's work and a life's savings destroyed. That is today's story. And today's story is that there are those who refuse to make it the story, who pretend that it's only a sidebar, unworthy of major attention. When respected anchors on television refuse to call people who burn and loot and assault, refuse to call them thugs, but insist on calling them protesters, that becomes the story, and it should be. It should outrage every one of us. Most of life is not simple. Most of life is complicated, complex. There's nuance and context, subtleties to stories that make legitimate interpretations all possible. People see reality differently. That's human nature. Good people try to reason with people whom, with whom they disagree. and good people are open to reason presented by others. That's not the way people tend to operate today. And this, too, is the story. It may be the larger story. People don't want to listen to one another. They don't want to listen to another's perspective. People are so committed to their own narrative, their own set of facts. No matter how erroneous or preposterous or incomplete their own facts may be, they're already committed to their own truth. And you know, Israel deals with this problem every day. When people criticize Israel for things that are either wildly untrue or completely out of context. And there are American Jews who have no patience with facts or history or context when it comes to Israel. Similarly, here too, people have made the issue of police racism a matter of ideology, almost a matter of partisan political ideology. They're most comfortable with a blanket statement. Racists, they're all racists. The police are all racists. And they all treat people of color, especially African Americans, unfairly, unjustly, inhumanely. Or with similar blanket statements on the other side, such as, there's no racism in American police departments because there's no racism in America. I want to say it again, and you may agree with me or you think I'm way off base. It's always better to tell the truth, even if the truth is painful. As a society, our only chance is to tell the truth. And here the truth is, there's still racism in America. And there are racists in every line of work, including police departments. And racist policemen are especially abhorrent because of the power they wield, power which they can abuse to cause harm, as in the case of George Floyd, to commit murder. By the way, I've received a number of emails from viewers cautioning me on stating as fact that the murder of Floyd was a racist hate crime, saying that this policeman may well be a borderline psychopath who may have murdered anyone that day, white or black. And that may be true. And it'll be interesting to learn more about this policeman's personal history. But this murder surely feels like a hate crime against a black man. And at the same time, the truth is that many people, not a handful, many people have turned righteous protest into wanton mob violence. And that is as much the truth as is American racism. And what's it all mean? It means human nature has a great deal of good in it and a good deal of bad in it. As our sage rabbis teach us, each of us has a Yetzer Tov, inclinations toward goodness and selflessness, and the Yetzer Hara, inclinations toward selfishness and self-serving rationalizations. We do not live in a messianic world. We live in a world where we are striving toward a messianic time when no human being, woman, child, or man will fear anyone, least of all someone in a police uniform. As the prophet dreams, may that day come when everyone will sit neath vine and fig tree with none to make them afraid. How wonderful a world would that be. But we're not there yet. In my op-ed, I quoted a verse from Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers. By three things does the world endure. By emet, truth. By din, justice. And by shalom, peace. The world endures, is sustained, teach the sage rabbis of our tradition. By truth, justice, and peace. But truth comes first. Without truth, there can be no justice. And without justice, there can be no peace. We all strive for shalom, peace. For every individual, for every person on this tiny globe. For there to be shalom, there must be a faith in our system of justice. That it's colorblind, giving no favor to the rich nor to the poor, simply being fair. To the extent that our justice system fails, falls short of this goal, social peace is impossible. And we're living that reality today. But for there to be justice, teach our sage rabbis, there must be a commitment to the truth. That's the foundation of it all. Truth. My friends, there is much to improve in our world, in our society, in our country. And those with the moral courage and moral strength and moral voice to call out those in power, to call out the system for any failure to respect the dignity and sanctity of every human being of any color. Those with that moral courage, may their voices never go silent. They are doing God's work. But may the brave among us also have the courage to call out violence. Anytime it is directed at an innocent, and any time it is used to destroy and undermine the good that is the very basis and foundation of our society. That which makes change and growth and increasing righteousness possible in the United States of America. Both are the stories of today. And to leave either out is to fail to tell the truth. I'm Mark Golub. Stay safe and be well, my friends.